write an email, write a note, a proper note. Don't send me a per the last email. I never read it, obviously.
I didn't want my name to be known because I knew I was going to be a huge, huge star.
The whole language makes me want to throw myself. I hate everything about it.
That's all very lovely, but I've asked for yes and no answers, please.
I like the office warm. I like it cold. I want it hotter. I want it colder.
Don't be such a wimp. Get over yourself.
Mark, you're fired. Excellent. Get rid of him. Let's see who's going to get reported to HR. Welcome to Judgment.
It's day three of our new pod, and we've been blown away, I have to say, by the response. Thank you, listeners. You are totally and utterly gorgeous.
Thank you. We are really enjoying doing this, and we're delighted that people are tuning in and listening and enjoying it as much as we are. So thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. You're completely wonderful. Now, what have you been quietly judging yourself this week, my love?
Well, have I got a story? I've been judging AI.
Have you?
Yes, I really have.
Well, that's right and, on the mark.
And because it's not always right, you see. And a lot of people take it, you know, as though its word is gold, absolutely. And sometimes it's wrong. It's been great. I've been learning how to actually put trips in. You know, I do a Google Map search.
Oh, yeah.
And then I put that in and I say, what nice restaurants are there on the journey to my next venue? And it's been absolutely brilliant. You know, I like to eat healthily on the road. And this is a tool that I'm using to eat proper delicious food. Now, I love Pho, you know, the Vietnamese restaurant chain.
Yes.
Well, it's called Pho, actually. But every time I say Pho, everyone goes, what? So I know it's called Pho, but I'm going to call it Pho because it's spelled P-H-O. And it's a fabulous Vietnamese restaurant, and it's really super healthy. Now, trying to find them while you're on the road is not easy unless you're getting Deliveroo, darling. And not everyone has that. So I put into AI the map of my journey just from Google. I did a little screenshot of it. And I said, where can I find a Pho or Pho on my journey to Wales? And lo and behold, it said, what time you're leaving? I said, well, I'm thinking of leaving at midday. And what time? And then it said, what time do you need to be at work? I said, 5 o'clock. I need to be at the theatre at 5 to, you know, do my sound checks and stuff. And then it said, well, Craig knows me. It said, it does, knows me personally. It said, Craig, what you need to do is leave at midday, book Pho Cheltenham on the journey there. It'll take you 2 hours and 15 minutes to get there from Liverpool. Spend a leisurely lunch at Pho. This is how it said it. I could not believe it. And then leave by 3:15 and you'll get to work by 4:15 easily. Enjoy your lunch. I went, now that is something incredible. Now, what it's not good at is placing furniture in my rooms because I've been using it to do a little bit of design, darling. And I thought, oh, this would be good. I can just literally take a picture of the room with builders in it and everything. And I say, remove all the builders and turn this room into a palace. And it does. But then if you say, oh, can you move the chair a little bit left? It will reverse it or it'll put it in the sky. I mean, it's not great. It's really great if you're really specific. You know, because I'm trying furniture, you see, for my house, and I'm buying it and then trying it and testing it in the rooms, and I'm using AI to do that. Sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's bad. So that's what I've been quietly judging, AI, and I'm coming to grips with it. It's useful for some things, but you can't believe everything it says or does, for that matter.
I've got some news for you. Let me tell you this.
Okay, go on. What have you been dying to tell me, darling? What have you been dying to tell me?
Now, I'm not judging this, but this is just a little bit of life news for you. The gardeners, I know this sounds so swanky when I say this, gardeners were at their house today. And I got a knock on the back door from one of the gardeners who said, I just wanted to let you know that you are awash with magic mushrooms.
Huh?
down the end of the garden.
Is this a good thing, or are they they're poisonous, darling?
Well, he said you've got the. I think he's quite bohemian, our gardener. So I think he's familiar with the. I'm not casting aspersions, but I think he's quite familiar with the whole thing. And he went, because he described them very well. And he went, the pink tipped or something with the white cap and the pink tip and all this sort of. All he described them to me. He said, you want two of those. He said, you'll be floating around for 10 hours. He said, so you might want to think about either digging them up or them because of the children and the dogs and everything.
Or so, cultivating them.
Or cultivating them.
And sell them at Camden Market. Back in the 90s, they used to sell magic mushrooms because they were legal on the street.
Were they?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah, but they're poisonous. He's probably right. As you've got children and dogs, yes, and things like that, you need to get rid.
Dig up.
So did you?
So he's in the process of doing that.
Darling, what was the punchline?
No, it wasn't any punchline. I just wanted to let you know. I found that terribly, terribly exciting.
I was seeing.
You'd appreciate it.
Next time you tell me a story, can you give it a punchline?
All of them have got a punchline. It wasn't much of an endo. It was more of a, look what happened today. yes, I wanted to tell you that. I'll tell you the other thing as well. This week, and again, this isn't sort of me being judgy or vis-a-vis or anything, really, but this past week has been Blackpool Festival Week. So this has been the week where all the ballroom and Latin American dancers around the world congregate in the seaside town of Blackpool for the 100th anniversary of the Open British Championship. Started
Did you
in
go?
1926. No. I didn't go. I did think about going, but I thought, no, I'm not going to go. I didn't want to go down the old memory lane with it, to be honest, because I remember it from when I was doing it, and I enjoy it because it's changed a lot. And I like those memories. I didn't want to go up there now. And also all of the people I competed with and all my old heroes and all the people I looked up to and more teachers, they're all old people now. I want to remember them as they were, not as they are.
Yes.
A lot of them haven't aged very well.
And so, showing your own face without a filter, darling, is not going to be easy.
Oh, no, I need a soft glow before I head up there. But it was, that was sort of a lovely memory. Let me tell you what it was like in my day. Because the whole sort of world born dancing, long story short, has sort of fragmented. It's gone all over the place. But in my day, it was the world congregated into this town of Blackpool. The festival lasted 8 days. It started on the Thursday and finished on the following Friday night. And the Friday night was pro ballroom night. So it was a big night, everyone black tie and everyone went along. But I have to tell you, you've never seen anything like it. All these bed and breakfasts and these little sort of chalets and stuff all around Blackpool were full of these hugely glamorous people from around the world. I just remember one day, this couple walking up Albert Road towards the ballroom, and she had this incredible frock on underneath this sort of long overcoat with these, it's like an Ugg boot affair, with her hair all done in this wonderful arrangement on the top of her head and this incredible makeup, walking along Albert, and it was the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. And then you look to the left, there's another one. You look to the right, there's another. Thousands of people literally took over Blackpool for 8 days at the end of May and the beginning of June. Such a surreal place to be. And then you walk into the ballroom and it was just the heat and the noise, the smell of Elnet and fake tan and sweat and passion. I mean, it was extraordinary, extraordinary, I have to tell you. And anyway, that was last week, and it was the 100th anniversary.
That's amazing, isn't it, really?
It's an amazing thing.
I went on a very exciting journey overseas, Anton.
Did you? Where did you go?
Yes, I went to the Isle of Man.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. I've never been there before. I mean, I've heard about it, of course.
Yeah.
And, of course, the TT was on.
Not oh, was then. It? Was it on
yeah,
during?
It's just been on recently.
Did you
and
see
you it? Know that...
How you like to straddle a motorbike?
No,
oh,
I
sorry.
Don't,
Not
actually.
That.
Although I used to ride a motorbike as a child. Yummy 100, mate.
Why does nothing you say surprise you anymore?
I used to drop the clutch and off I'd go. That's how you make the wheel spin.
Oh, right.
Yeah, see, I know these things. I don't look the type. But yes, I was on my little Yammy 100. I remember getting on a PE 250, darling, and the whole bike, as soon as I dropped the clutch, the bike went from underneath me and drove itself. Yeah, shot out from between my legs. It was a little bit too powerful. I wasn't used to it. I'm used to a lawnmower engine. But I did. I went to the Isle of Man to do the show in a beautiful theatre, the Gaiety Theatre. It was absolutely stunning, really stunning, really gorgeous. And the people were absolutely beautiful there as well. And we got beautiful weather. So it looked like we were in, you know, the Caribbean. The point to this story that I was going to tell you, actually, before you rudely interrupted me, was the fact that our hotel room that we were staying in, the Manon Hotel, was, £120 a night, which is reasonable, right?
Reasonable.
But through TT, £6,500 a night. And did you know they get 60,000 people live on the island and 60,000 visitors visit TT. I was armed with information, darling.
Wow.
Yes. It's good to know where you're going, you see. And that's my next question. Where do you think your career is going, darling? Where do you think your work is going? This leads me to my next question to you.
Where do I think my work is going?
Yeah. Where's your career heading?
I feel like the luckiest guy in the world because I do the two things I love to do more than anything else. I love Strictly more than anything else. I love being on that. And I love the fact that it's only you and me left. This makes me very happy from the beginning. And I love being in the theatre. I think those two things, doing a bit of telly and doing a bit of live, makes me enormously happy. I tell you the one thing I'd like to do, which I haven't done, but do a movie, of course. You've done movies, I know.
I have done movies. Not to any great success, mind you. I was in Nativity Rocks as the lead villain. That was sort of my biggest claim to fame in a movie.
Nice, but a movie.
And my other claim to fame, obviously, is I did the choreography for Paddington 2.
Paddington 2, yes.
With Hugh Grant.
Hugh.
Yes.
Brilliant.
I did that. And I taught him to tap dance. Yeah. Well, it was meant to be, it's a bit of a send up at the end, you know. And plus, you know, I was not delighted when I went to see it in the opening in Leicester Square because you don't know. I've not seen the movie. I see it with all the punters. So I choreograph it. You work on it for months and months and months. And then suddenly it comes out.
Use.
Yeah. And I sat there watching it. And then my number finally came on at the end.
At the end.
And then they rolled the credits over it, fuming. And they were so fast, I couldn't even see where my name was. I had to film it on my camera in slow motion so I could go back and see where my name was.
I'm sure they'd spelt it right.
But at least with Nativity Rocks, darling, I'm up there, front and centre. But I tell you what, it was scary. It was scary going to see that because that was fully improvised, that whole script. There was no script. You just turn up on the morning and then start speaking. Yeah. It's like pretty full on, but it was
amazing.
You
are a man of few words, let's be honest.
But seeing your face in close up on a screen that big was arresting. I didn't like it. I did not like it. Yeah.
So now
I know, why leading actors and actresses and all that get paranoid.
Yeah, not many.
And that's why Barbara Streisand has some massive filter.
Has she? You know?
Yeah. It's all soft focusy filtery thing.
Yeah, well, she's, you know.
Yeah, the face has two. The mirror has two faces. Did you see that ever? Vaseline lensed, darling.
Oh, was it?
It was beyond. it was. That is crazy.
Very apt as well as a title
apt.
for the film.
So
the
that's
thing
where
I'd
you're
like
heading,
to, let me ask you
it?
A question. The thing I'd like to do, I don't know if it's where I'm heading, but the thing I'd like to do, which I haven't done before, really, apart from things like Panto and stuff, is to play a part. I think I'd like to play a part in something for a change, because I generally just do me. I'm out there seeing the
you
dancing
mean,
and doing my
as
shows.
An actor.
Well, even yes.
I mean, not playing yourself.
No, exactly. I'd like to do that.
Playing a character.
Playing a character.
That's
I'd
called
like to
acting,
do that.
Darling. Mm. You need to be trained for that. You do realise that.
Well, that's where you come
in. It might be a good idea to go and have a few acting lessons before you embark on a whole different career.
Genre of work. Well, that's where you come in, my love.
Oh, I see. All right.
We'll be in the dressing room. We'll be in the dressing room.
We are talking about the workplace, darlings. Yes. All things workplace, whether you work in an office, whether you work in a toilet, whether you work like us in glamorous dressing rooms or not so glamorous cars.
Well, of course, we work together, closely together, and it's a very odd sort of thing because we'll go out and perform and then we'll come back to a dressing room. Or we'd jump straight in a car and go somewhere else.
That's right. Well, most people don't have to undress in front of their
cohorts.
In front of their work person that they work with, do they? Their colleagues.
No, of course.
We have to actually undress in front of one another. Yes. I mean, most people, when they go to the office, they don't take all their clothes off and put other clothes back on, do they, darling?
No, rarely.
So it is
rarely.
It's quite...
We do have quite a unique working environment
experience.
And experience. Well, it's once you've seen Craig Weberhorn in his underwear once, you've seen him a thousand times. It makes no, you don't bat an eyelid anymore. But it is odd that our world, in context of the world, the working environment, the workspace in general. And I can understand how people from another world would come into our world a bit and find it all a bit sort of much and unnerving, whereas we all find it perfectly normal.
Yes, we do.
I find the sanctuary of the dressing room very important, and I'm not a fan of people wandering in and out because once you've been out, I don't know what you're like, once you've been out... or how you feel about it. Once you've been out performing or something and you come away, that sort of decompressing time where you just... I know you like to get horizontal and do...
I like to get horizontal immediately. I put my little robe on. I take my outfit off that I've been wearing on the stage. I hang that up neatly. I then pop a robe on. Robe, sorry.
I then pop a robe on
and then I lay horizontal and I get nice and comfy. Because it's generally in between shows and we've got another one to do until I drift beautifully into a slumber for half an hour. And then I go and have all the free food at catering.
Right, come on then. Let's get on with the pod proper.
As always, coming up, we have the gold standard unseen statements for honest judgments. Judgy much. Quick fire judgments on hot topics. And of course, helping you, the listener out there, with your voice notes and emails. You get involved by emailing judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk or finding us on social media at judgmental.pod. So, pull up a chair in our glamorous tea room and let's get into it.
Good morning, team.
Please find below today's agenda issued from the tea room and circulated company-wide for immediate attention.
Today's meeting addresses a recurring operational challenge. Workplace dramas.
Key discussion points will include, but are not limited to,
tensions that remain unspoken yet widely understood.
Power plays disguised as collaboration.
Passive remarks delivered with exceptional enthusiasm.
And colleagues who become mysteriously unavailable at critical moments.
Please come prepared to observe, assess, and quietly judge.
Standards remain non-negotiable.
Kind regards, Judgmental HQ.
Don't you just love an email? It's time for the gold standard.
I bring the gold.
And of course, I bring the standards.
Well, this week, it's all about workplace dramas.
In
drama.
I love a drama, darling.
Let's see who's going to get reported to HR.
Oh.
I'm going to choose this one, the nearest one to me. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Temperature wars.
I like the office warm. I like it cold. I want it hotter. I want it colder.
Oh, well, freezing
air in here. Air conditioning. Where's the air conditioning? I don't like air conditioning. It gives me... The voucher will never work. Can't stand all that. Grow up. That's my attitude to the whole situation.
Well, I think office temperature should be set at 23 degrees Celsius.
Very reasonable.
No hotter?
No colder?
No colder.
23 is quite... What about the summer? Take it down for the summer?
23.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite
just
warm.
23.
It's quite warm, 23. How about 18 in the summer?
No.
What?
No.
Voce. Terrible for the voce.
It's not good. Air conditioning is not good for anything. It spreads disease.
Oh, I like that.
Do you see?
Yes. What about the windows? Like them open or closed?
I like them open.
Open. I agree.
Depending on sound.
Fine.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
if
you're
in
exactly
a London office in Soho, you yes. won't want them open, will
no.
you?
No.
No.
Smog.
And not only that, the noise.
Exactly.
Blankets. How can you concentrate?
Blankets
in an
at
office?
Desks. People who wear blankets at desks.
What?
Exactly. Go home. Work from home.
No.
You've no interest to me in the office.
No.
Get out of my office.
No, never work from home if you're going to do that.
Tiny desk fan people, please, for God's sake. Oh, my fan doesn't work.
No, the noise.
Can we have the air conditioning on? Go home. Work from home. I think we could.
There's going to be no one left in your office.
Tremendous.
Then only you.
Then we don't have to go and have meetings. Isn't this tremendous? I love that. Call me. How about call? This is the other thing that drives me mad. People don't want to speak on the phone anymore.
Don't they? Why?
I don't know. Why do people not speak on the phone anymore?
Why do you say that?
It drives me mad because it's sort of a new thing. It's a modern thing. Young people don't, they feel it's an inconvenience. Why are you ringing me? Why don't I talk to you? Why didn't you text me? I think it's because I still wanted to talk to you. It's anathema to me. People don't like to talk on the phone anymore. Like they'd rather text.
Yeah.
Or WhatsApp. Sap. Mm. Or email.
Email, yeah.
No, I can't be doing that.
Didn't you read your email?
No.
See?
I was waiting for the phone call.
Waiting for the phone call.
Why didn't you call me and tell me?
Exactly.
Right here.
So well, to read it. Calling can be expensive.
What?
Texting's free.
Calls are free. What age do you live in? All your calls are free. You have 3,000.
Only if you're on WhatsApp.
You have 3,000. No. It's a tariff on your phone.
No, but you get a certain amount of calls, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, more than you'll ever make, let me tell you.
Potentially.
What but are you storing them up?
If you're suggesting that everyone rings you instead of emails
yes.
you, you're in for a rude awakening, darling, because
no,
your phone bill's going to go through the roof.
No, it's fine. I'd rather you call me. Don't email me. Definitely don't email me. That's getting lost. Never read it. Didn't get it. Junk.
Went never read it. Junk.
Wrong email address. All of the above.
Yeah.
I called you and don't even talk. I mean, this, I'm sort of pleased it's gone out of fashion because I'm not a great, I didn't love it. But voicemails. I don't even know why they have that. It's like telegrams. They're going to be obsolete in a few years. A voicemail. I'm going to ring you, but leave a message.
I think most people are voicemailing now because you can get, instead of texting.
Voice noting.
Yeah, but you just push
that's
a little
not the
button.
Same thing. Voice note.
What's different about it?
Well, a voicemail is when you leave a message after you've rung and somebody didn't pick the phone up. So you go,
that's
please
an
leave your message.
Phone.
No, that's the thing you receive it on.
That's called an answer phone.
The thing you receive it on, but what I'm leaving you is a voicemail.
Yeah, it's the same as a voice note.
No, it's entirely different.
Hello, darling. Hi, Anton. Hi here. I just wanted you to hear the emotion in my voice
and I can see
of
that.
How upset I am with you.
Never.
Do you see, if I just texted that,
yeah.
it wouldn't be the same.
No, it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be as dramatic.
But if you voice noted it, I would get it.
Yeah.
If I left you a voice message. Yes. Exactly.
What is your point?
I'd like people just to ring.
Okay, fine. You could have just said that.
I did.
Wasting my time and all our viewers. Right. You have a voice note.
Never. Oh, no. Oh, I see. We've got a voice note. Oh, I see.
Oh.
Oh, our butler's arrived. Thank you, Will.
Thank you, William.
Lovely, impeccable.
It's ringing. Hello? 76590.
Hi, Craig and Anton. Oh. Charlie here.
Charlie.
I have a workplace dilemma you might be able to help me
okay.
with.
Okay.
I've just started a new job and all is going well, apart from, as I say, my name's Charlie.
Oh.
And I'm 90% sure my boss's boss thinks my name is Mark.
Okay.
It's happened a couple of times and I'm not sure how to raise it or
raise
do
it.
I just become Mark, now in some corners of the office?
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, what should I do? Have you ever had anything similar and what did you do if so? Love the podcast. Thanks so much, guys.
So
that went well.
Lovely Mark.
Mark.
Thank you,
lovely
Mark.
Mark. Thank you, Mark.
I think Mark's nicer than Charlie.
I do.
I'd stick with it.
More grown up.
Yeah. Because you can go, Marky Mark, Marky Mark, Mark me, Mark, Mark, Mark. Can't you?
You
more
could.
Fun than Charlie. Listen, own up. Say, I'm sorry, you might be the CEO of this company, but my name is Charlie. And if you can respect that, respect it, or I'll leave.
Oh, dramatic.
If you continue calling me Mark.
Yes.
That's not my name.
No.
My name is Charlie.
Charlie. That's crazy.
Don't be such a wimp.
Yes, Charlie. I think it's just
Charlie,
more about you.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
Pretend it's your middle name.
Yeah.
Charlie Mark.
Charlie Mark. Marky Charlie.
Charlie. No, well, Charlie Mark. I would, I mean, you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
He needs to just say, darling, I'm Charlie.
Not Mark. I don't know
not
who
Mark.
Mark is.
Who's Mark?
I have no idea.
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
Would you be scared to tell
Charlie.
Your boss?
No.
That's not your name?
I had a nasty incident.
Why would you go through?
Let me tell you
this. Oh, yeah, I've been working for the company for 20 years. And guess what?
I'm
called
Charlie.
Mark at work.
Mark, you're fired. Excellent. Get
Excellent.
Rid of him. I'm Charlie, so I've still got a job.
Yeah. So, my advice was tell him.
Let me tell you this. This is a true story.
Go on.
I, after about 5 years of Strictly Come Dancing.
Is this going to be a long one?
Well, probably.
Only because
you know
I pour
me.
Myself a cup
Have
of
some tea.
Tea.
And so I don't do it quick fire. And actually, I'll have some tea as well while you're at it.
Go
Thank
on,
you,
then.
Darling boy.
Don't stop talking.
And so I went in for a meeting for the new series of Strictly Come Dancing that was coming up that series, that autumn. And so the professional dancers were invited in for a conversation before the series began. And we had a new executive producer, and you might remember her. And she invited me up to the office, and I went to this office, and I approached the door, and she stood at the door. She went, "Hi, Brendan, lovely to see you." And I laughed.
She wasn't thinking.
No, I don't know what she was thinking. She might have just seen him, or she might be seeing him later, or something else. Anyway, she called me Brendan. I laughed, and she went, why are you laughing? I said, "You called me Brendan." She went, "No, I didn't." And then I swear to God, we had this awkward sort of situation where I'm laughing and going, "You called me Brendan." She went, "No, I didn't." She got quite affronted by it. And I went, "No, you did. You called me Brendan." And she went, "No, I didn't." And I thought she might laugh. I realised she was not laughing. She's been very serious and denying it. So now it got really awkward. And she got quite defensive about the situation. And I had the similar position that Charlie and Mark had of where I go, "No, no, come on. Don't be silly. You called me Brendan and it's quite funny. Don't be defensive. I know you're nervous. You're meeting me for the first time. That can be a lot. I get that.
Mm.
But you still called me Brendan and I'm Anton."
And did you get a voice note of this?
I didn't get a voice note, but she sent me an email. I never got it. And but it was sort of hilarious. So I've been in Charlie Mark's situation, but I remind her of this situation a lot, and we laugh about it all the time. And she still denies it, which is hilarious. But so I think if Marky Charlie took a grip of this situation, he and his CEO could be laughing about this together in the future.
I know, but I think it sounds like it's too late because he's already accepted the word Mark, hasn't he? If he's answered to it, he's had it. You've got to do it immediately.
You've got to do it immediately.
I mean, it's never happened to me.
Once met, never forgotten.
That's it. Honest.
Actually, people know you before they've met you.
It may have happened when I was a younger dancer.
I was only a younger dancer at the time.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Auditions.
I mean, I'm sipping tea, if you're wondering, listener, what is going on here? I'm sipping tea.
Don't slurp.
I'm not going to slurp.
You do slurp.
I'm not a slurper. That's you slurping. You're a dribbler, by the way, when you sleep.
You sleep with your mouth open. Just thought I should tell you. I'll take a picture next time.
Do a picture next time.
Yeah, because that's not good behaviour in the office.
Just leave me the mouth open.
Yeah.
Fly catching.
So Mark, Charlie, get over yourself. Tell your boss, please. It's winding me up. I want to come to your office right now.
And straighten it all out.
No, just say, Charlie, meet your CEO. CEO.
Marky Charlie, straighten yourself out because Craigie's getting tense. So come on now.
I mean, I've done it on purpose. I called myself Trent when I was a hairdresser.
Hang on.
And I've forgotten. Whoa,
this is travelling too quickly for me. Two things. Firstly, you were a hairdresser?
I was a hairdresser.
When were you a hairdresser?
When I was 17, 18.
Did you train?
Yes.
Oh.
I was an apprentice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I didn't want my name to be known because I knew I was going to be a huge, huge star. So I kept Craig Revel Horwood as my real name. I didn't want to be known Craig Revel Horwood.
Former hairdresser.
So I called myself Trent. And plus, it was a lot trendier in the 80s to have a cool name. Craig was not cool for a hairdresser.
No.
I could walk into work with, you know, an opinion as Trent.
Cool.
So maybe that's advice to Mark. It sort of worked for me. Yeah. I became a great colourist.
There you are.
I did. There you are. And then, I gave up hairdressing for stardom. The stage. Yeah, because I got a
show. Maybe that's your future, Mark. Maybe you should become a colourist and a star of the stage and screen.
In which case, Charlie work.
Charlie would be better as a hairdresser.
Darling, that is the gold standard for this week. Oh, yes. It's time for Judgy March.
Nice. I'm eating a Swiss roll.
Quick fire judging. So you've got to swallow that quickly because I'm about to put you in the hot seat, my love. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you do it with a mouth full of jam roly-poly?
Jam. It was Swiss roll.
It was a bit old school. Remember, yes and no answers, please. I know you're going to find this hard. Here we go. The dodgy printer.
No.
The office microwave.
No.
Out of office flexing.
God, no.
The colleague who just loops everyone in.
Go away. No.
Reply all email disasters.
Disaster, no.
Personality hire.
I don't know what that is.
Just say yes or no.
I am like the worst person in God's earth to be asking anything officey. I don't understand a word of any of it. The whole language makes me want to throw myself.
John Dubeck.
I hate everything about it.
You just
corporate hate. Makes me want to something.
Does it?
Through the roof of my.
That's all very lovely, but I've asked for yes and no answers, please.
My apologies.
Thank you. Water cooler chats.
Go away.
Schmoozing, flirting, sexting.
I know you want to, but don't.
Per my last email.
I didn't really read the last.
Yes or no?
No. Write an email. Write a note, a proper note. Don't send me a per the last email. I never read it, obviously.
I'm not asking for what your thoughts are. I just want yes and no answers. Office birthday cards with 47 signatures and no messages.
No.
Work Christmas parties.
Yes, but only if they're good.
No explanations. Working from home.
Yes.
After work drinks.
No thanks.
Work meal prepper.
What the f*** does that mean?
As someone that preps their meals.
Oh, the people who bring their food
like
into the office.
Me wanting healthy things to eat at my desk that you're saying I'm not allowed to do.
You can't do
You'd
that.
Rather me just bring in a great big Cornish pasty with a sausage roll and tomato sauce.
You'd love that.
No, you'd love. I was just thinking of my dream job where I just ate Cornish
pasty. Oh, you'd love that.
In the office, there's nothing like the smell of a freshly baked Cornish pasty in the office to get everyone working and salivating. Come on.
Go out
now,
for lunch.
Now, I'm quite concerned. I don't understand this, though, Anton Dubec.
Mm.
After work drinks, yeah. I think, is valuable. It's where you can decompress.
Okay, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's. I think it should be, if I was the CEO of a company, I'd be encouraging people, my teams,
yes,
to go out
mm.
and have an after-work drink.
Mm.
You know, even if it does turn into a bitching session about me.
Yeah.
But it releases things, and then you don't go home with the problem.
Actually, I have to be honest with you. I agree with you. I think it's a, even I if think you don't it's a drink, good idea.
Just going out for a Diet Coke or something, you know.
And also, work Christmas party. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think work after well, show know. After show drinks, nice.
The Christmas party, I agree with you.
Yeah.
They're, I think they're just a waste of time.
Yeah.
And because normally, you're actually in the office.
They're only done. Great. Yes, exactly. This is what I was thinking when yeah. you said that. If you go somewhere else and you go, we're going to have an office Christmas party, but we're going to go to such and such,
yeah.
and we're going to have a bit of a do, somebody else is going to pay for, the bosses pay for.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice way of the bosses giving back. As long as it's something the employees would like to do. Don't I hate anything that's sort of forced upon people.
Yeah.
You feel obliged to go back to the office to have a cheap party, have beige food and terrible wine. But otherwise, don't bother. Other people will make their own arrangements.
Well, thank you for joining us, Judgy Much. Anton was very specific in
oh,
that.
God.
Our yes and no answers. Please, please, please. More topics like that, because it really gets him going.
Judging me, judging you. My favourite bit where we read out one of your stories. So thank you very much indeed for sending this in. And it goes like this. Dear Anton and Craig. Oh, I got top billing. That's nice. A colleague of mine, let's call her Jess. Why not? Jess it is. Started doing stand-up comedy at open mic nights. She mentioned it casually every now and then, like, oh, yeah, I've got a set tonight. And I thought, wow, that's actually very cool and slightly terrifying. Over time, I convinced myself she was being modest and would secretly love some support. So I planned what I thought was a delightful surprise. I rallied about 8 co-workers, booked a table right near the front, and we all showed up ready to cheer her on. When she walked onto the stage and saw us, we erupted like she just headlined Wembley. And that's when I realised something was off. She didn't beam with gratitude. She didn't laugh it off. She looked startled like a deer in the headlights, but holding a microphone. Her set wasn't a disaster, but it definitely wasn't her best. The jokes felt a bit rushed. She kept glancing over at us and our enthusiastic laughter suddenly felt aggressive. Afterwards, I went over fully expecting a you guys are amazing moment. Instead, she very gently explained that stand-up was a private thing, a place where she could try, fail and experiment in front of strangers, not co-workers, who would remember every joke in the office kitchen the next morning. Apparently, us being there changed the whole vibe. It made her self-conscious, added pressure, and worst of all, now everyone at work knew about something she hadn't really introduced yet. I genuinely thought I was being supportive. Instead, I accidentally turned it into a high-stakes performance review. We're still on good terms, but I now overthink even saying good morning. What can I do to make it up to her?
Well,
oh, heavens.
Well, listen, the ball is in the comedian's court.
Nice.
I think, well, the colleague, the Jess, the comedian, needs to be grateful and thankful that people are supporting her. I think if you're a stand-up comedian, you've got to be able to take all those moments, good or bad, darling. Yeah. You know, it's something you have to learn. You're putting yourself on a pedestal. You're putting yourself in front of people, trying to be funny.
Hard, isn't it? It's a hard,
yeah, but still,
hard thing. I don't think she should have mentioned it. She wanted it to be private and not introduced yet, like some sort of boyfriend who she doesn't want to introduce to her friends. She shouldn't have mentioned it. And I think by doing that...
Yeah, but how can you be two things. How can you be a really private person and all of that and then get up in front of people and stand up comedy? It's the hardest thing to do in the world.
Yeah, I know. But but you do it in front of strangers, people you don't know. So it's
there's
not
so... always someone you are going to know in the audience. You and I know that.
I agree with you. Stand-up comedy is, I mean, talk about nowhere to hide. That is, I mean, that is hugely difficult in itself. And then trying to be, just standing up in front of people with a microphone and then talking to them is hard enough. Trying to be funny and get them on side and make them all laugh and fall about. The people who do that brilliantly have got a talent. Hard.
If Jess was any good, she would have coped.
Yeah.
With their fake laughter. She would have coped. You've got to have some one-liners to throw back at people because you are going to get hecklers.
How is she going to make amends, though?
Yeah, but she could treat them like hecklers and put them in their place.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Oh, you think it's that funny, do you? And then back it up with another joke. If she's obviously not very good.
No, she's obviously terrible.
Sorry, Jess.
Sorry, Jess.
Fess up and say, okay, I'm rubbish.
But I'm going to work at it. I'm going to keep going.
I love it because I love self-torturing myself.
Yeah, exactly. I like sticking pins in my eyes.
She obviously likes the abuse.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck to you. Well done for having a go.
Get over it. That's what I would say.
I would say that.
Get over it. And co-workers, I don't think you did the wrong thing in turning up and supporting.
She told you. I think her mistake was telling you. Because they're lovely friends and they went, we'll give her some support.
Yeah, so for the lady that wrote in, I don't think...
you haven't got to worry.
You shouldn't worry. Be honest with her. If she's shit, tell her she's shit.
Okay, don't be too honest. You don't want to crush the
girl. Well, that's my advice anyway.
Yeah. Harsh.
Go out there,
showbiz, baby,
and be funny.
But next time, be funnier.
Yeah.
I get asked sometimes to go and host an awards or something like that, and they say, could you do 15 minutes at the beginning? Like a 15-minute set.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd do that.
Oh, no. I find that just mind-numbingly sort of...
It was a bit terrifying, but...
quiveringly difficult.
Yeah, I was asked to do that, and I thought... I've never done this before.
No, exactly.
And I just pretended I had a set.
Yeah.
And I didn't. But I went on.
Just made up material as you went.
And I was hilarious.
Great. I don't doubt that for a second.
It was the most fun I've ever had. I was unscripted, uncensored, and I brought the house down.
Yeah, I see.
And then I went on to the script.
Nice.
And
which was bored. Dull.
Yep. Thank you so much for tuning in to Judgmental. I am Craig Revel-Hallwood.
And I am Anton Dubek.
And we are saying goodbye. See you next Tuesday.